Welcome to another episode of Bank On It. I'm here to chat to Basali. Welcome, Basali, to yet another episode of Bank On It. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Kaushik. I'm also thrilled to be here.
Okay, let's kick off with your journey in this incredible bank and the cool stuff that you do right here.
So up until April this year, I was responsible for operations for Retail Bank. And that specifically means I was responsible for the distribution. So our 880 branches, our 8,500 cash devices, effectively responsible for making sure that we deliver on the client experience that Capitec clients over the years have become very used to. And it's an incredible privilege for me to have learned that when I first joined the bank, because it really has served me well through the years in terms of understanding the DNA of Capitec. And then in April of this year, I became the executive for Retail Bank, meaning that I now look after all of Retail Bank, which again is an incredible privilege to serve our clients and to be able to play this role in our organization.
Now, Retail Bank is incredibly popular, and I'm going to reference the queues, right? And everyone who thinks about Capitec and thinks about the queues will ask themselves, why? I know you have a great, excellent answer for that, but I'm really keen to find out just from your perspective, not just why are the queues so long, but what goes into all of the solutions that you've done to actually make them shorter, because they are.
Yeah. Rightly or wrongly, we are associated with these very, very long queues. I think what's important to note is that these long queues typically happen at month end and specifically on SASSA payout days, because that is when clients obviously have the biggest need to get cash. So if you kind of zoom out and think about the longer term strategy, we can see that more and more of our clients are moving towards digital channels.
Yeah.
So we currently have 14 million clients who are using our app. We've got 5 million clients who are using USSD. We have a strategy right now, we're calling it our emerging market strategy, to put POS devices, so these are point of sale devices in the hands of small merchants and townships, to enable more of our clients to pay using cards and also using things like PayShop and QR codes. And by so doing, the strategy is designed to make sure that we enable all our clients to move to using digital channels and to being able to feel comfortable and safe using these channels, and that they're accessible to our clients. But of course, in the immediate term, our clients still have a big need for cash. So again, we have seen in the last few years that the amount of cash actually available in the South African, let me call it, ecosystem, has pretty much remained flat. So the demand for cash has not been growing, which I think is a really great thing. And then the second thing, though, is we're doing a lot of work around saying, well, our clients still have a big need for cash, so we continue to increase our cash estate. So we've been increasing it by about 10% every year. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got 8,500 devices, which is 3,000 devices more than the nearest competitor to us. So we really are committed to making sure that our clients have access to cash. And then in the kind of more optimization space, we also then make sure that those devices work really well. I'll just boast a little bit if you don't
mind. Okay, go for it.
So we have a vendor that helps us to distribute, to get these cash devices out into the market. And over the course of the last year, they've been changing out their cash devices and putting in place devices with a lot more capacity that work a lot better, which means that those devices can now do 3 to 4 times the volumes that they used to.
Wow.
And this is just one example of the many ways that we work hard to make sure that we are increasing accessibility for our clients. We're making sure that our devices are available to them to try and shorten those queues. And maybe the thing that we're proudest of is that in the course of the last couple of weeks, we launched a partnership with Pick and Pay in terms of which our clients can deposit cash. And why this matters is because the reason that our queues are long, it's not necessarily because of the withdrawals that our clients are doing, it's because of the deposits.
Oh, okay.
Deposits take a long time, particularly because clients are depositing on behalf of other clients and so on, or to other clients. And having more access channels to make those deposits should make a big difference. So we are fully expectant that as the year progresses, those queues will continue to get shorter.
I want to ask you a few leadership questions. How has Capitec facilitated your journey from a leadership perspective in this next level?
It's like just listening to your question. So much of it is about culture.
Yeah.
And I think there's a very big part of our culture that is about developing our people, growing our own timber, making sure that when people are here, they understand that one of our fundamentals is about how we collaborate when things go wrong, right? If there's a problem to be solved, everybody swarms from different parts of the bank. If you're asked to help with something and you're in one part of the bank, but the problem is arising in a different part of the bank, people immediately show up for it, right? I think having that means you have access to people across the bank who've got very, very different skills, and you can learn from them.
Yeah.
I think the culture of sharing information and sharing knowledge is very, very, very strong. So you probably are aware that we're in the CEO transition. So his last day was last week Friday, and our new CEO, Graham Lee, his first day was on Monday. So I suppose my reference point at the moment is around the former CEO. And he took a very sincere and deep interest in making sure that he knows who the talent is in the bank, that he takes a personal interest in developing them, mentoring them, coaching them. And I think by so doing, right, because leadership starts at the top, he kind of sets the tone for everybody else to do the same. And I think that's what's been, it makes it easier, right? When you land in an environment, you're onboarded in a way that's very tailored to your needs. You have a personal development plan that's very personalized, obviously, because it's called a personal development plan. And you are encouraged to make sure that you continue to grow. And I think you're given a lot of the tools you need to develop yourself outside of just, you know, purely go on this course or, you know, study this on Udemy. I think there are people who are deliberately putting themselves, who are making themselves available to you to help you to grow.
How do you marry the theory of leadership and business and management with running such a massive portfolio and looking after so many people day to day?
Yeah, you know, and I think it all just comes down to the realization that it's about the people. You know, at the end of the day, I definitely will never know as much as the tech team does about tech. I'll never know as much as our credit team knows about credit. I'll never know as much as our operations teams knows about operations. But being able to understand what all of those people need to be able to do their best work, I think is exactly what leadership is. How do you make sure that you ask questions that enable the teams to apply rigor in what they deliver and how they deliver? Make sure that you are coaching them to coach their team so that the culture is filtered down in a consistent way. Making sure that we continue to push the boundaries, right? So set targets and goals that make everybody stretch and feel like they're achieving great things, because if you don't feel like you're part of something great and successful, something bigger than yourself, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to motivate yourself in the morning. And I think that's what we get to be part of, right? An organization with a very, very, very strong leadership culture that understands that people are at the center of what we do. And if we don't create a culture that enables them to grow and to thrive and do amazing things, then our bank will just be one more bank, right?
In your mind, what does the future of experiences look like within this financial institution for clients?
So I think the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me that is that human beings are social, right? We want to connect with each other. We are at our best when we are leveraging each other's skills or, you know, helping each other and learning from each other. And I think as a result, for sure, having a robust branch network will continue to be the thing that we do. Then I think the second thing is people will need different solutions over time. So how do we continue to make sure that we provide that at the most affordable price and in the most accessible way? And I think that's something that we will continue to do. And I think to your point, right, as we grow, we definitely, I think, will look a lot less like a bank and much more like a technology business. So maybe just to put a little bit of color into what you're saying, I think the fact that I think there's 30% of our income derives from our lending business, right? And about 70% derives from transaction fees and value-added services and all sorts of other products. And we fully expect that to continue as we grow our business. And we look forward to serving our clients as best as we can, given their evolving needs.
I'm very happy. Basali, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, insights. Such an exciting time to be in this environment. And I really look forward to having more conversations with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed this discussion.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.